All right. So the last presenter for this session is going to be Serge McGraw, and his presentation is titled Transient DNMT1 Suppression Reveals Hidden Heritable Marks in the Genome.
Where's, oh, here.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking. Bronchi. Oh, here.
Is this one right?
Yes, yeah, the one.
You have to right click and choose the older version.
All right, thanks. All right. That was all right. Thank you for the opportunity for letting me present today. So I'm going to talk about novel methylation marks that we found that need to be constantly passed on in early embryonic development. So first, DNA methylation involves DNA methyltransferases that brings a methyl group onto cytosine. It's important and associated with key functions such as transcriptional repression, especially in processes like genomic imprinting and X chromosome inactivation. So there's two main methylation. So establishment by 3A and 3B on naked DNA. Then following DNA replication, you have DNMT1 that maintain these patterns. So normally around the genome, you have non-imprinted genes that have biallelic expression, so there's no methylation that's repressing these genes, so you have expression from both alleles. As for imprinted genes, they're methylated in a parent of origin manner. So here you have the paternal allele that's methylated, so repressed, and the expression only comes from the maternal allele. So these genes are important in embryonic development as well as in placental development, and they've been shown to be associated with various diseases and disorders. So the establishment of these imprints or establishment of methylation across the genome is done during germline growth, so by 3A and 3B. Then following fertilization, you have a genome-wide phase of demethylation. Around pre-implantation, you have a reprogramming phase where 3A and 3B will reestablish methylation. However, throughout this period, DNMT1 maintains methylation on imprints. And if you lose methylation on the imprints during this period, they can't be reestablished because they are only established in the germline. So this is a period which is extremely dynamic and also sensitive to virus environmental insults. So, right, what I've showed in a paper that we recently published is if you have a brief dysregulation of the methylation maintenance phase, here what we did is we targeted DNMT1O, which is only, it's an isoform of DNMT1, only present at the 8-cell embryo. And for one embryonic division, if you lose maintenance, what you have is you have, that's been shown before, but problems with the imprints in both the embryo and the placenta, but also you have imprinted X-ring activation problems in female placentas. So my question after that was, what happens if you have an extended dysregulation of methylation maintenance during early embryonic development? So if you take, you switch it off for many embryonic stages, and then you put it back on again. Are you going to be able to find sequences outside imprinted regions with inherited DNA methylation? However, there's no model now, there's no mouse model to look at that. So what we did is we use blastocysts to derive embryonic stem cells and created a model to study this. So the model that we use is an embryonic stem cells where we can inactivate specifically DNMT1, creating a genome-wide demethylation phase. Then you reactivate DNMT1 and create a remethylation phase. However, what we're expecting is we have sequences across the genome that might maintain a portion of that methylation, and what we're looking for are specifically sequences that are not going to be able to recover methylation, such as imprinted genes. So the objective of this project was to determine if there's sequences outside known imprinted loci that are sensitive to the loss of methylation maintenance by DNMT1 in early embryos, and to see if that methylation would be inherited. So the importance of these sequences, well, these sequences could be more sensitive to deregulation during development or could be involved in various diseases. So this is the model that we use, the ESL. So we created transient suppression of DNMT1 by inserting a TET cassette in DNMT1. So if you look here, when you add the doxycycline drug, what it creates an inhibition of the gene. So after 3 days, you don't have any DNMT1. If you remove the drug from the media, after 48 hours, DNMT1 is back on. So Tover cells treated them for 6 days with the drug. So you have levels of DNMT1 that plunged. That's about 8 doublings without no DNMT1. Then we remove the drug and then let levels gain back for 21 days and collected different time points. So what we did is we did genome-wide DNA methylation analysis. We extracted DNA and used 3 different techniques. So a first one, which is like a first-generation technique called RLGS, where we use enzyme base and gels to look at about 2,000 sites in the genome. Then a second generation, which is MSIP, which is immunoprecipitation of methylation with microarrays for CpG islands. And then a next-generation technique, which is RBS, for reduced representation bisulfite sequencing, which uses Illumina sequencing. But first, what I did is I looked how imprinted gene would it react. So quantify these by sequential mass array. Here for all these kinds of graphs, you have methylation, you have the control cells, and then you have the days where the drug was removed and DNMT1 was recovered. So as you can see here for H19 and GNAS, both are imprinted genes, you have levels of methylation that dropped after the absence of DNMT1, and levels were not regained after 21 days. So this slide just briefly summarize what I found in RLGS and the MSIP experiment. So basically, there's 4 different patterns that we're expecting to observe. So regions that are losing methylation following the inactivation, and then when DNMT1 is back on, then they're regaining original levels. Some regions are going to be able to sustain some part of their methylation with a 3A and 3B, and when DNMT1 is back on, they regain original levels. But these are the sequences that we're looking for, the one that lose total methylation or partially their methylation. So because the 2 techniques that we use were kind of restrictive, we use RBS. So we looked about 2 million CpG sites across the genome. It's a single base resolution. It's quantified. And we're looking about 100 to 115 million reads. So we take these reads, we align them on the mouse genome, then we spread them in bins of 100 base pair. And here's just an example. So what we had is about 250,000 tiles that were sequenced. And we have just the global methylation of these tiles. So like 40% of the tiles had low methylation, 40% had intermediate methylation, and then like a 20% had high methylation. If right after DNMT1 was turned down, what you have is you have basically a genome that's wiped out of methylation, except for a small portion. And then when DNMT1 is put back on again, you know, methylation patterns are reestablished. However, as you can see here, we are losing a portion of our highly methylated tiles. So just a different way to show it. So here we have the tiles out of those 250,000 tiles. If we just take between the controls and the day 21 in this heat map, so in yellow it's highly methylated, blue it's 0, and dark it's 50%. So what we have between the control and the D21 cells, we have about 10,000 tiles that change. Like 2/3 of those were intergenic. If we just concentrate on the ones that are in genic regions, they're associated to tissue development, organismal development, and embryonic development, as well as cancer. But for today's talk, what I'm gonna talk about is the ones that were acting like imprinted genes. So the ones that were losing methylation and not gaining it back. All right. So what I did, if you look at in this graph, these are different tiles, the methylation. So in blue, it's the methylation of the controls. In red is the methylation of day 21. But what I want you to focus on is the greens. So it's the total loss. So how much these regions lost methylation. So as you can see, Here, the loss around 100%, going to 85%, and the top candidates are all imprinted genes, the one with the red arrow. But however, there's a lot of them that are not imprinted genes, are not related to imprinted genes, that they're losing the same amount of methylation following the inactivation and the reactivation of the NMT1. However, since we were using a ESL system, we wondered if this was only due to the system itself. So we went back to our DNMT1O model, which, like I said earlier, loses only maintenance at one cell cycle during early embryonic development, and we know that there's about 25% loss in imprints. So we used those, this model, and then we went and checked in both 9.5 days embryos and placenta how some of our candidates would be acting. So the first one, was just to show you, this is H19, this is an imprinting gene. So in the cells, they were high, lost at D0, D21, didn't gain it back. If we look in the embryo, the black bars are for the control, the white bars are for the DNMT1 knockouts. So we see in both embryos and placenta that we have a loss of this imprinted gene. If we go and we look for two of the candidates, XLRA4A and BBS9, what we see is we have that lost. However, they can gain a little bit back in D21. Same thing for here. However, if you look in the embryo and the placenta, we have a significant drop in both of these. So this gene, it's linked to a group of genes or a cluster of genes that are imprinted, but this one is not imprinted, but we don't know what it does in the genome. However, for BBS9, it's part of a syndrome that's associated with mental retardation, obesity, and abnormality. So these genes and some of the ones that we found could be acting if they're not properly maintained in different diseases and disorders. So what we did is we identified sequences that cannot regain their normal methylation profiles following a perturbation in the maintenance by DNMT1. So some of these regions are acting like imprinted genes. They could be novel epigenetic markers to evaluate DNA methylation if maintenance is not properly maintained during development, like during IVF manipulation, or if they're toxic and are affecting the embryo, or during diseases. So now what we need to do is determine if these sequences acquired their methylation in a parent of origin matter in gametes. And if not, well, maybe the defects that we're observing in methylation are because of aberrant epigenetic surrounding. So we're looking right now at errors in histone modifications. So I'd just like to acknowledge a few people. So everyone from the lab, especially Donovan, Jacques, and Mina, our different collaborators, Richard in Pittsburgh, Christoph Plass in Germany, and Tommy and Guillaume and Maxime for the bioinformatics here in McGill. Thank you.
Thank you for a really good talk. We do have time for a few quick questions, but very quick questions.
Okay, I've been warned. Serge, that was really cool. I especially like that you went back to the embryo and saw a change in some of these. Is there anything special about the regulatory regions or the regions where you think changes might be occurring to regulate expression of these genes? Do they have repeat elements that might
explain this? I have a few slides maybe here. So if we look, out of the 10,000 genes that change, or regions that change, 5,000 are covered by repeats, and a lot of them in here in pink are line 1 elements. Okay. So that's what I'm looking right now, to see if these line 1 elements or the other elements have specific modifications or specific DNA's 1 sensitivity, or if they're associated to that. But now we're into crunching numbers and bioinformatics to see if there's a trend. Okay. But that's what I would be thinking.
Okay, that's really cool. Did you look and validate DICER? I mean, that could be really cool as well.
No, I didn't validate, but it's in the list. But
Hi. So you isolated ES cells and you modified DNMT1 by mutation, and you have nicely characterized that the methylation landscape is changing. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to the mutant embryo to look at the same methylation landscape, And then you find that it's also changing in the embryo. And then in the embryo, in your early stages, you have absence of imprinting. And then at some point in the embryo, I don't know what day it is, you have this lower, slightly lower methylation in your mutant.
Let me explain it back. So in here, because of the ESL model that we have here, when we're turning the maintenance off, you're losing completely methylation on imprinted genes. So that's what I showed in, like here. Mm-hmm. So you're losing methylation. However, the mouse model that we use, the reason I went back to that model, it's the only model that we have currently where we have lack of maintenance, but only at one cell cycle. So that lack at one cell cycle won't produce a total loss of imprints. So it's about like what Keith was talking about. You get a mosaic epigenetic background. So when you're looking later on in 9.5 days embryos, what you have here is you have about 25% loss of the methylation on imprints. So they're not losing totally their imprints. They're losing partially their imprints. Because we know that this model affects imprinted gene, then that's why I went back to the model to see if the sequences that I named, what I called imprinted-like, were acting like imprinted genes. So meaning that they're losing, they need constant maintenance during early embryonic development. We'll talk about afterwards. No problem.
So how long you can maintain this low methylation condition in ESL? Have you ever checked the potential of the DCESL, differentiation potential?
I didn't. Well, the people in Pittsburgh did. So there's no problem. They run fine without methylation, and that's been shown in which different knockouts for the DNMTs. But when you try to differentiate them after, they won't and they die. So as long as you keep them as potent cells, pluripotent cells, they're fine. If you differentiate them, they die. All right, thank you.